Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. Trust in you.
Hello, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. We've been studying My Brother's Keeper, and thought maybe I'd continue with that today. Let's go to the Lord and ask His grace, would you? Father, we thank You for Your mercy that lives in our life, Lord. We thank You for Your grace that lives in our life, Lord, that causes us to love You, that causes us to run after You, Lord, that causes us to love the brethren. Lord, You say that we can't love God whom we can't see if we can't love our brother whom we can see. So, Lord, we thank You for the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by Your Spirit, Lord. We thank You. We thank You that we appreciate and love You because You've worked in us that will to do Your good pleasure. We thank You for Your grace, O God. Lord, continue to draw us that we run after You until we come unto the likeness of Jesus Christ. Lord, like David, we say, I will not be satisfied, Lord, until I awaken Thy likeness. Thank You, Father. Thank You. Thank You for Your love and Your grace in us, Lord. Amen. God bless you, saints. I trust you've been having a good week, and I just want to share some word with you. I'm thinking about Revelation chapter 2 here and Jesus' exhortation to the church in Ephesus, which is somewhat good, somewhat bad, you know. I mean, he's hitting both sides here, but I'd like to start in verse 4. He says, "But I have this against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love." I want to tell you, I believe that a lot of the church has left their first love. When we come into the kingdom, you know, in the beginning, we are just really gung-ho for Jesus. But before long, we kind of, a lot of people do, settle down and lose their first love. But verse 5 says, "Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I come to thee and will move thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." Do the first works. This is, I think, something that could be said to all the Laodicean church of our age, is do the first works. Go back and find out what the Bible says and forget all the lies that you've heard and seek the truth for yourself, right? Verse 6 says, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." Wow. So these people who are evidently lukewarm and falling away from the Lord, they had one thing positive. They hated the work of the Nicolaitans, which God also hates. Can you imagine somebody that was in as bad a shape as they were had this positive thing about them? You know, God hates the work of the Nicolaitans. Now, what is the Nicolaitans? Well, Nikao, which means to conquer, and Laetan, which means the people, to conquer the people. And what it was a priestly order that set themselves up above the people of God, between them basically and God, a priestly order. And of course, we know that in the Old Testament there was a priestly order, and the Levites, for instance, and then the high priests above them, that were between the people and God. They spoke to the people for God. They ministered to God for the people. And that was fine for the letter and the law when people were not born again in order to have a perfect relationship with God. But it's not at all good for now. And we know that after the New Testament started, there was a great falling away. And Catholicism started a priestly order, which is not according to the will of God, and that the Protestant churches basically kept up this priestly order They didn't call them priests, they called them pastors. But basically they were a one-fold ministry over ruling over the church, something that you cannot find in the scriptures at all. And that's how you know it's a lie, is when you can't back it up with scriptures. And there's nothing in the scriptures to back up the pastor being the head of the church. Not at all. As a matter of fact, there was a five-fold ministry, you know. The truth is, in Exodus 19, the Bible says that if, let me read this to you. Exodus 19 and verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be mine own possession from among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So God says those that keep his covenant will be a kingdom of priests. They will not give in to the Nicolaitan doctrine, which he says he hates. You know, he also said a little later to the church of Pergamum in verse 15, he says, So hast thou also some that hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans in like manner. Repent therefore, or else I will come to thee quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. You know, God cast the harlot, the Jezebel, into great tribulation and her children. And basically the Jezebel is this false church government that's been foisted upon Christians, thinking that it's well and good and right and scriptural, and it's totally unscriptural. You know, the Bible very clearly gave us a fivefold ministry because God did not want to share his glory, nor did he want anybody to be between us and God. You know, Christ is the head of every man, the Bible says. They call it a covering. Listen, folks, your covering is not any religion or any preacher. Your covering is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done to sacrifice his life on the cross. That is your covering and your propitiation, your covering. So when a man starts to tell you that he is your covering, you need to run from that guy, because what he's trying to trap you into is the Nicolaitan error. See, he wants to be, and generally these people are trained to be domineering. They don't give you any choice to follow your conscience or to follow the word for yourself. They tell you what the word says and they expect you to follow it at the expense of your fellowship if you don't. So they're ready to cast you out if you don't. They put you under the law. They won't let you grow at your own rate or make up your own mind as you study the scriptures and come to the unity of the faith as you grow in the knowledge of the word. No, they're very domineering. They've laid down their laws and they tell you what to believe and they'll cast you out. Well, the pastor's not the head of the church. We know from the scriptures that in Ephesians chapter 4, for instance, Ephesians 4 and 11, it says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And some people get hung up on this because, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it uses just teachers. And, of course, we know that evangelists are teachers. They're teachers of the lost. Pastors are teachers. They're shepherds. They're guides. They teach guidance to the people of God, and there's teachers here. All of these are teachers, and yet they're separated for purposes of having a different ministry as far as who they're ministering to and what they're ministering. But God says, notice that he gave these fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering. Now we discovered from Exodus 19 that we're all supposed to be priests unto the Lord. We all minister unto him. We all have sacrifices that we make, especially the sacrifice of our old life. Present your body as a living sacrifice. We sacrifice the old beast on the altar of the fiery trial, right? Well, We're all also called to be ministers in one form or another. Not all elders, but all ministers. Notice, for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. This is what God desires. He desires that each one of us serve his body in one form or another as ministers. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But notice the body serves itself here. And yes, we are our brother's keeper. We have a ministry that our brother is in need of. Every one of us receives a ministry gift from God. No, once again, people are used to calling ministers what actually elders are. But diakonos, which means to serve, is used of many people in many different facets, some who are not elders. Okay, but no, everybody's not called to be an elder, an apostle, prophet, pastor, or teacher, or whatever. But everyone is called to be a minister, as we can see. And the minister's job is to build us up so that we can attain, verse 13, until we attain unto the unity of the faith. Well, that's not happening. And the majority of ministers don't want that to happen. In fact, they're afraid that might happen. They use the word to separate people into different sects. And sectarianism is, of course, a work of the flesh, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 5. But God wants his body to be one, and he wants the people in the body to serve the rest of the body. Till we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, or perfect man, same word, teleos, perfect, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Individually and corporately, we are growing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. In other words, not get caught up in the idolatrous religions of men. Right? But speaking truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. We talk about abiding in Christ and what it is to abide in Christ. Abiding in Christ is more than just abiding in his righteousness. It's abiding in his ministry. It's abiding in his gifts. It's, as we'll see here in just a minute from the scriptures, it's learning to walk as he walked. Verse 16, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth, groweth, praise God, according to the working in due season of each several part, maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. The building up of itself in love. You know, God has put his people here to become one body. Now, I know that there are many different local bodies, and each local body is coming into the image of Christ. But in the scriptures, it wasn't the denominational church in each city. It was just named the church of that city, the church of Ephesus. It was just one church in Ephesus. Not all the denominations in Ephesus, but just the one church in Ephesus. And, of course, we were told that the wolves would come in and divide the body. Well, the body is meant to serve one another. If you want to make sure that a body never has any power, that it's weak and powerless, just let it follow in the steps of the Nicolaitan error. Because the Nicolaitan error cannot bring the body to perfection, cannot bring it to the fullness of Christ. The fivefold ministry can, but the Nicolaitan error cannot. And the body gets used to being spectators. Instead of each one finding their ministry, the part that God has chosen for them to edify and build up the body, they become just spectators. They don't believe it's their responsibility to serve the body, to enter into the gifts of the Spirit, which the Bible speaks of. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, when we look at chapter 12 and chapter 13, we see that the body of Christ is more than just the fruit of Christ. Now, the fruit of Christ is mentioned in chapter 13, say from 1 through 7 or so, the fruit of Christ is mentioned. But before that, the ministries of Christ are mentioned, 28 and 29 of chapter 12. And before that, a description of the body of Christ as servants one to another is mentioned. And before that, the gifts of Christ are mentioned. Now, Jesus came, he was made in all points like unto his brethren, the Bible says. Meaning that Jesus came as a Spirit-filled Son of God to minister in the gifts of the Spirit. Spirit-filled Son of God. You know, when Jesus didn't do one miracle until the Holy Spirit came down upon him when he was baptized by John. And then his miraculous work started, because this was a gift of the Holy Spirit. We see the gifts of the Spirit spoken of here. And, you know, when the Lord said to his disciples in John chapter 20, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." The Father sent a body that was to meet the needs of his people. And Jesus also sent out a body of people that was capable to meet all of the needs of God's people. You know, in the days to come, the tribulations to come, we're going to be needing everything of Jesus Christ to walk through this time. We're going to need all of his gifts. You know, Jesus demonstrated for us in the Gospels what it was like to walk in the first 3.5 years of the coming tribulation. And his disciples demonstrated what it would be to walk through the last 3.5 years in the book of Acts. This is what the Lord showed me years ago, that these were types and shadows of those time frames. And, you know, the gifts saved them more than once. And not only that, the gifts met the needs of all of the body of Christ, not only through them, but through others. And so we see that the listing here, you know, is from 4 on down to 11, the listing of the gifts. These amount to the ministry of Jesus Christ. As the body of Christ, God gives these gifts to us so that we can walk in his steps. The Bible says, "Let everyone that says that they abide in Christ walk as he walked." 1 John chapter 2. And it also says in verse 24, "If that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son." In other words, you're abiding in the body of Christ, if that which you heard from the beginning. Now, what we heard from the beginning is that God gave these gifts to every one of his people. What happened when Jesus was opposed by the people of God, they call themselves, that didn't believe in the full gospel? They opposed him. They said that his gifts were of the devil. He said that you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Basically, they're doing the same thing today, folks. They are opposing the Holy Spirit. They are blaspheming, speaking against. That's what blasphemy is, speaking against the Holy Spirit by attributing his gifts to the devil. And yes, some of those people are truly reprobated. I'm not saying all of them are, but some of them truly are. But we see that these gifts were given in the beginning. If we're going to abide in Christ, then that has to abide in us, which we heard in the beginning. And this is it right here. This is the body of Christ. The body of Christ as far as not only the fruit, but the ministries, the gifts, and the body being knit together, as we read in Ephesians chapter 4. All of that is in these two chapters. And, you know, we're told in verse 4 here, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are diversities of ministrations and the same Lord." So there's different gifts, and there's different ways that those gifts are ministered, because they don't work the same in everybody. The Holy Spirit is very different, reacts very differently in different people. And there are diversities of workings, but the same God who worketh all things in all. So the same God, the same Spirit is working all of these gifts and what? In all. Okay. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. To each one, everyone in the body, let's submit to the Word of God here, okay? Everyone in the body who is filled with the Holy Spirit is capable of having these gifts to profit with all. In other words, to meet the needs of the body, right? It's not optional. We are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know some people say, well, I automatically got filled with the Holy Spirit when I got saved. But there's nothing in the Scriptures about that, folks. Nothing about that at all. You know, Jesus, after walking with his disciples for 3.5 years, breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And then he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until that Spirit came. Just a few days later, it came. And he says that you shall receive power after the Spirit has come upon you. These disciples, who in John 14 and 17, he told that the Spirit is with you, but shall be in you, these same disciples were filled with the Spirit at that time, on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, they were born again, because Jesus said in Matthew 19, you have followed me in the regeneration, which is the same word for new birth, born again. That's what the word regeneration comes from. The Greek word, it means born again. He also told them in John 15, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So these people, these disciples were born again. The words of Jesus made them clean. The words that I have spoken unto you, they're spirit and they are life. They received those words and they brought his Spirit and his life into them. Not the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. They are different, according to Romans chapter 8. Christ had his own Spirit, but he also had the Holy Spirit. And the disciples that he raised up had their own born-again Spirit, but they also received the Holy Spirit in obedience to God. Today, many are not being obedient to God, and they are accepting false doctrine that you automatically get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Well, they didn't. They got saved, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing in the rest of the Scriptures to say that either. In fact, in some cases, they had repented, they had been baptized, and they had to send disciples to them to tell them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, like Philip in that gathering. And have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed, the apostle asks. You know, so we know that that's a false doctrine, and the truth is that none of these gifts are available. These gifts that provide for the body of Christ, that he gives to each and every member so that they can minister, so that they can give to the body of Christ and also be used to bring in people out of the world, these gifts are not available to those that have that false doctrine. See? So it's very, very important we accept exactly what the Scripture says. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he still sends us the way the Father sent him. You notice the Father did not send him until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's when his ministry started, in Luke chapter 4, for instance, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The only reason the disciples walked with Jesus and exercised the power of Jesus over demons and healing and so on and so forth is because he was a paraclete. Now, if you read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, it says very plainly, in fact, I'll read that to you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Advocate here is the same word for paraclete as in John 14. And he will send you another comforter, paraclete. So Jesus walked with them for that first 3.5 years. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, but they had a paraclete. They had Jesus, who had given them authority to go forth and cast out demons and heal the sick and so on and so forth. But as far as them going out on their own without Jesus, who was the paraclete, he said that he would send them another paraclete who would be with them. And so before they were able to go out and minister any of the gifts or any of the power of God, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 1, until they received the promise of the Father. And when this happened, the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit worked through them mightily. And so it is today, folks. You still need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, then you are eligible to have these gifts and manifestations. We just read verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. Each one. If you have not received one of these gifts to edify the body, to minister to the body, to be your brother's keeper, so to speak, to serve the body, then you need to seek earnestly to receive them. We have, this is not an option. We're commanded of our Lord. For instance, chapter 12 and verse 31 says, but desire earnestly the greater gifts. And moreover, a most excellent way show I unto you. Desire earnestly. And of course, that way is love, right? Those that have the love of the brethren, they want to help the brethren, they desire to serve the brethren. This is an excellent way to receive the gift because God gives to those people who want to be servants, right? And also, 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 says, since you also zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may abound unto the edifying of the church. Edifying means building up of the church. Seek that you may abound. So that's a command unto the edifying of the church. Also, verse 1 of that chapter says, follow after love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. So, edifying, the building up of the body, is what these gifts are all about. The building up of the body. Serving the body, right? So if we go back to verse 8 in chapter 12, it says, for to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. When I was about a year old in the Lord, I had a prophet came to me and said, the Lord has given unto you the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And that happened twice more with other people who prophesied, who didn't know one another, same thing. And I knew it because God was speaking to me these things, you know. And so if you ask God to give you the gift that you need to serve his body, he will do it. He's already said here that to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all, to profit the whole body, right? Okay, this is according to the Spirit. Verse 9. To another, faith in the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healings in the one Spirit. Notice, it's in the Spirit of God. If it's in the Spirit of God, you must first have the Spirit of God. And, you desire earnestly to receive exactly what they received in the book of Acts. You know, the most common manifestation in the book of Acts, when someone received the Holy Spirit, was speaking in tongues. It was not necessarily the gift of various tongues or differing tongues along with the companion gift of interpretation. Those gifts are to the body. But the tongues that we receive when we first get baptized in the Holy Spirit is for the edification of our own life, like it says in 14 and 4. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. So edifieth there means buildeth up. The Bible says build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude chapter 20. Build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, I will pray with the Spirit. Chapter 14, verse 14. I will pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So praying with the Spirit is praying in tongues. It builds you up. It builds up your faith. It empowers you to be what you need to be. It's the most common gift because it's the most necessary gift to be able to pray to God according to the will of God, the scripture says. And in a language that you don't know, so you won't change it, right? If you know what you're saying, you're tempted, your theology is tempted to get in there, you see. But if you don't know what you're saying, you're not tempted to change it. So that speaking in tongues is the most common proof that you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, any of these gifts God could bring forth to you so that you can serve His body and so that we can be our brother's keeper. Let's see. Verse 10 says, "And to another working of miracles," and to another prophecy. Working of miracles has worked in my life quite a few times, many times. "To another prophecy, and to another discernings of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues." Now, diverse kinds of tongues, I've manifested that a few times in the past. It's a different gift than just your prayer language, speaking in tongues. It is actually many different languages, you know, and it can be brought forth also with the interpretation of tongues, which is equal with prophecy, as Revelation, as 1 Corinthians 14 says. "But all these work the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as He wills." God has chosen gifts for you to be ministered to the body. So desire earnestly, obey God, desire earnestly these precious gifts so that you may minister in the Spirit of God. Ministering in the Spirit of God. For instance, these gifts are manifestations of who Jesus was and is. They are manifestations of His power, His gifts that He used to meet the needs of His people. And then, after God speaks about the gifting of Christ in the body of Christ, you see, if we're going to abide in Christ, abiding in Christ is these gifts, you see. You can't reject the gifts and say that you're abiding in Christ in that particular point, you see. And you can't, just like you can't reject the fruit and say you're abiding in Christ. Now, to abide in Christ, 1 John 2 and 6 tells us, it is to walk as He walked. And to have that abide in you, which was also in Christ. Okay. So, you know what? The Bible says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. All the blessings are in the body of Christ. We need to abide in Christ, believe in these blessings, believe in these provisions made for the body, do our particular part in ministering to the needs of the body. And John 14 and 12, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Remember, Jesus is the one who is able to identify who a true believer is. He said a true believer will do his works. Now, what are his works? Well, they are his gifts. They are his fruit. They are his ministries. These are all part of Christ. You cannot reject one of these categories and say that you are walking as he walked, right? So, basically, Jesus left an individual body so he could come back in a corporate body so he could continue doing with the gifts, with the fruit, with the ministries, what he did in that first body. That was his plan. Think how wonderful things would be by now had the church not fallen away into a great deception, followed many wolves into a scattered flock. Thank God the Lord said in these days that we would become one flock with one shepherd. Thank God for that. He's going to restore his people into one body that's going to function perfectly. And thank God, because we have a tribulation coming, that we're going to need every bit of this. Yeah. Let me read quickly on down a little bit further. Verse 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." We're not factioned up into sects, S-E-C-T-S, divisions, strifes. This is all a work of the flesh. This is denominationalism. No, we are one body. We don't have to examine everyone's doctrine to see if they agree completely with us, because we all get to walk in Christ and grow at a different rate, maybe get different revelations at the beginning and different ones at the end, and grow learning from one another, all these things. The body is knit together and buildeth up itself in love, as the Bible says. Verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. And, of course, that's water baptism. We're baptized into Christ, the Scripture tells us. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And this is, of course, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're all made to partake of that one Spirit. We partake of the Holy Spirit through the gifts that are given to us from other members of the body. You know, where we lack, another member excels because they have a gift from God. Where we excel, another member lacks. We are put together in order to meet one another's needs. The Lord will not let us be everything that we need. People who say that they have all the gifts and that they are everything that the body needs, that's a lie. That's false. It's contrary to what the Lord is saying here. We need one another. He ordained us to need one another, you see. But that tells us that each one of us needs to do our part, or the body lacks, you see. Verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. There are people who look at themselves and they think that everyone needs to be just like them. There is the Nicolaitan doctrine that tells you that anybody that wants to be a minister, they have to go to Bible school and come out being a pastor. Well, that's ridiculous. Where would the rest of the fivefold ministry that's been usurped by the pastor? What would it do to perfect the rest of the body of Christ, right? Because that's what it's for us, for the perfecting of the saints. The Lord will not share all of it with one man, folks. We need the different ministries as well as the different gifts. We're going to need all of it in the days to come, because we're going to have to walk in the Spirit and in the power of God to escape the judgments that are coming upon this world. Verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. It is not therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? That's the cookie cutter Christian scenario, folks. Everybody wants to be just like their, believe just like they got the same gift just like their neighbor. It won't work. You're not going to be prepared. You're going to lack in an awful lot of things that you're going to need in the days to come. This is, if we obey this, it will prepare us to go through the greatest tribulations to come. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased him. And the gifts, notice that the gifts were even as he will. So you can't choose your gift. God can put in you a desire to have the gift that he wants you to have. That's true. But the old man does not choose a gift. Right? It's the Lord that chooses the gifts for you. And from experience, I can tell you that he will give you several of these gifts in order to minister to the body. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? So, I mean, everybody can't be an arm or a leg, right? There has to be a whole body, a meeting together. You know, obviously there are multitudes of people who have not come in to the gifts that God is calling to, and they have no interest in that. Well, I'm just asking you to obey what the Scripture says here. It commands us to desire earnestly these gifts, to seek after these gifts, right? To be prepared for the days that come. But now they are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, even though what people would consider to be feeble members of the body are necessary. What? Because if they fulfill their part in the body, it's a need, a definite need in the body. The people, many of these people who consider themselves unnecessary, and because they're not accepting the Lord's gifts and taking their place as a minister of Jesus Christ. And we are all called to be a priesthood. We're all called to be ministers of Jesus Christ, right? And those parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, whereas our comely parts have no need. But God tempered the body together, giving a more abundant honor to that part which is lacked. Did you ever notice that in the world there may be what the world calls foolish, ignorant, weak, but God's power is made perfect in our weakness, and His mighty gifts can flow through some of the most incapable worldly people in order to make them absolutely necessary to the body of Christ. And He does that. If you are weak in the world, that does not mean that you are weak in Christ. In Christ, His gifts are powerful. You see, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Notice, if one member suffers, the whole body suffers. If there is a lack of one member, the whole body suffers, because that particular need is not being met. We need to pray that God will not only bring us, but all of the body into their giftings, into their callings, into their ministries. Right? Now, we are the body of Christ and severally members thereof. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. Of course, teachers here covers evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Right? God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and then miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diverse kinds of tongues. See, He's gone now from ministries which are elders into other ministries, you know, which are actually, believe it or not, diakonos, deacons, ministers. They minister in other areas besides just in the elders, right? Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but desire earnestly the greater gifts, and moreover a most excellent way show I unto thee. And that is, of course, fruit. You know, if you have the gifts, you may be considering yourself very, very important. But according to God in chapter 13, that if you don't have the fruit, no matter how much gifts you have, you are not important. And it says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Obviously, God considers fruit far more important than gifts. Gifts are God's way of enabling His body to meet each other's needs and to evangelize the world. Because obviously, the world is not impressed with words of wisdom like a lot of the church is. You know, matter of fact, if you go back, why does God need power in the church? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, verse 4, my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Well, I dare say today, the overwhelming majority of the church, they expect you to humble yourself to their persuasive words of wisdom, is not based in their power. But Paul said, not so. but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, friends, if you're going to a church that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof, from such turn away. Your faith needs to be based in the power of God. God demonstrates the true, full gospel to His people. And if it's not the full gospel, it's not the gospel. Romans 15, listen to what he said, Romans 15 and verse 18. Apostle Paul said, I will not dare to speak of any things save those which Christ wrought through me. In other words, it's not just a theological discussion when Paul spoke it. It's something that God manifested through him. And he wasn't going to share something that he hadn't experienced. Well, there's an awful lot of teachers out there that share things that they haven't experienced. You know, when Jesus taught, the people were awed that he taught as one having authority, but not as their scribes had taught. You know, like a theological discussion, something that's knowledge for knowledge's sake. But Jesus taught as somebody who had authority, somebody who knew what he was talking about because he'd been there, he'd done that, right? And that's what Paul's saying. I don't dare speak any of those things except what Christ has wrought through me. And another thing, verse 19, in the power of signs and wonders. Oop, I'm going to back up a little bit here. He said, I'm going to read this verse again, verse 18 again. But I will not dare to speak of any things save those which Christ wrought through me for the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, these gifts are for that purpose. They are for the purpose of manifesting signs and wonders, not only in evangelism to the world, you know, but also in the supernatural needs of the body, in healing and deliverance and so on and so forth, all these things. You see, and so in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about, even unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. This is where we get the word full gospel, full gospel, fully preached the gospel of Christ, meaning all of the good news, not just the little part that gets you into heaven. See, obviously the good news covers all of the needs that God has met. He has delivered us from all of the power of the curse, all sickness, all demonic oppression and possession. He has delivered us from all of that at the cross. And the gifts are God's method for bringing this to pass for the body, for the cleaning up of the body, for the perfecting of the body. The ministers, the fivefold ministries, are called to perfect the saints unto the work of ministering. Okay. And, of course, they also pass along and impart and pray for and all the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested through people. Be filled with God's Spirit so that you may be filled with His gifts, so that you may minister to His bodies, because the body needs you, as we have seen, needs you desperately. Now, we know that there are some things that are common to the body. I know that a lot of you out there wouldn't agree with this, but Mark 16, Jesus spoke of things that were common gifts to the body. Mark 16 and verse 17. These signs shall accompany them that believe. Any believer can do these things he's speaking about here. Any believer. You are entitled to do these. Now, any believer won't have all of the gifts we saw in 1 Corinthians 12. But these are things that are common to believers. These you have authority to do from God. These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. Even the youngest among us can cast out demons. It comes with the authority of faith. It doesn't come with any gift. It comes with the authority of faith. Now, there are gifts that help, like discerning of spirits. That's a help. And you can also have word of knowledge. It can work just like discerning of spirits. It can tell you what you're dealing with there, you see. And in my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Oh, yes, friends. It doesn't matter. You can be a baby Christian, come into the kingdom, but you can speak with tongues. Now, all don't have the gift of tongues and the companion gift of interpretation, but all can speak with tongues. He said so in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, when you come together, if you all speak with tongues, and people come in unlearned, won't they think that you're mad? Meaning, of course, be careful for the unbelieving who come in, even if it's the unbelieving Christian who doesn't believe in speaking in tongues, because there's a lot of Christians that are unbelievers. He's telling you here the signs that will accompany the ones that believe. It doesn't matter whether you believe your religion. We're talking about scriptural belief. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, Jesus said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the spirit that they believed on him were to receive, right? So in my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink in, and of course he's talking about demon spirits here. In Luke it speaks of those. Serpent spirits and scorpion spirits. Those are talking about demons. They shall take up serpents. Of course, the Apostle Paul physically took one up on his hand, you know, from the fire and cast it off and was unharmed. But this is talking about taking up demon spirits, right? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, these are common giftings to the whole body. Anybody who is a believer can do these things, as has been well proven among the people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit and are obedient to God. You know, we are commanded to be filled with God's Spirit, God's gifts, because these are parts of the ministry of Jesus Christ. When we abide in Christ, we are not only abiding in his fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, and so on and so forth. We're abiding in the gifts, okay? And so, if you want the ministry of Jesus Christ in your life, you need to find what gifts he has called for you. You have a part in the body. The body needs you. They need your gifts. Now, these gifts are given to you. They may not be given to your neighbor who is in need of these gifts. And so, we have a responsibility to the body to desire earnestly these gifts. Now, we can serve the body in many ways. We can serve anybody. We can meet their needs. We can give to them. We can pray for them. All these things are fine. But these supernatural gifts are necessary in the body. Because in the days to come, folks, we're not going to be able to walk in the world and be able to escape the world. We've got to have an edge from God. And, you know, Jesus, he said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. He knew that he had the power of God. He had the protection of God. He had the blessings of God. And we do too. We have those things. And we need to know this from the scriptures. You know, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or understanding, right? So we desire earnestly these awesome gifts, especially those that we have in common here. You know, they're obviously given so that not only can we minister to one another, but evangelism, folks. Listen, people have heard a lot of words from a lot of Christians, but the people of the world, they need to see something more than that. They need to see the ministry of Christ. The signs and wonders that go forth bring multitudes into the kingdom when nothing else will. You know, I know God grants waves of repentance and revival among people. But also when they see a God that doesn't just sit there and let them go through their misery, but he takes care of his people, he meets their needs, he heals their bodies, he delivers them from demonic oppression or possession. When the world sees that, they know the love of God. You know, to them, what some people preach is not a loving God because he doesn't seem to meet their needs. They need help and they don't get it. And one reason they don't get it is because the body of Christ is not the body of Christ. Because Christ lives in the body of Christ. And he desires to live in and through us to show his love to the people around us. And yet we are hindering him when we don't do what we are commanded in seeking these gifts in order to be a great blessing to the world around us. Pray, saints, pray. Ask God, what gift is it you have called me to? And then let God lead you to that and gift you. God bless you and thank you for joining us today. And we'll do it again sometime.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com.
You can cleanse my guilt and pride.
Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you.